I'll tell you what the Miami Dolphins could use, and maybe some of the Florida State Seminole football players, they could use to get their nutrition up, get bigger, stronger, faster. VitaCost is your place to take your game to the next step. Their sports-certified marketplace is built for athletes, fitness enthusiasts who like to train hard, understand the benefits of what clean supplementation and nutrition can do for you. Listen, 80% of getting into better shape is about the nutrition. 20% is the physical side. 80% is really how you fuel your body. And VitaCost is that go-to to take it next level. Their sports-certified marketplace has over 400-plus performance-enhancing supplements that are all certified, which means that they're free of banned substances, and they help you take that next step. Visit VitaCost.com/sport-certified to make the purchase now. That's VitaCost.com/sport-certified to make the purchase now. ESPN20, ESPN20 for 20% off. Go today at VitaCost. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Katt, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. If you missed any of the first hour, you want to listen back to it, go listen on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, all those great places. Just search up Russo and Rizzo or download the ESPN South Florida app. Christian Katt is our producer behind the glass today at the City Place Studios. Christian, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing great. I made three new friends over the weekend, and it's the first friends I've made in a long time.
What were you doing?
Playing golf.
At the Kaiser Golf Center?
Well, that's where I learn and practice golf at the Kaiser Golf Center.
You actually put your skills to the test.
Exactly. And I got better, and I got better, and I got better. I shot a nice low 90s round in Lake Worth, all courtesy to the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center that have lowered my handicap down day after day, week after week. My short game is irrecognizable to before I stepped through the doors of the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. KaiserGolfCenter.com. KaiserGolfCenter.com. You got to go there and schedule your lessons today, because there is no one in the area, in the Palm Beach County or in the Treasure Coast, that has the better facilities, tools, and coaching for the game of golf. Whether you're just picking up a club for the first time today, or you're trying to go from a scratch golfer to maybe get into a plus handicap mode, KaiserGolfCenter.com. That's where you can sign up for golf lessons with Kaiser. Indoor, outdoor, doesn't matter, rain or shine, video technology that can help you show you what you're doing wrong, where you need to be, and how to fix it. KaiserGolfCenter.com.
You played a good round with three different people. You met them?
Yes. 78-year-old Chip, 64-year-old Dave, and then Jim is, I think, 65.
Did they know each other?
Yeah, they all knew each other. That was a threesome that I was joining as a single.
And they did they welcome you into the little posse?
Oh, yeah. They were playing a money game, and I played along. Not with them. Didn't compete with them, but I was keeping track of things, and I got the invite for next week, next Saturday.
Wow. Same place, same time. Good for you. Are these guys all retired?
Yeah.
Nice. Uh-huh. That's great, dude. Congrats.
I know.
That's you're excited for that? You get added to a group chat or something with the flip phones?
No group chat. Just scheduled the tee time. They told me the exact time of the day that I booked, because I already had theirs booked, and there was one spot remaining. So I slid in there, and that's on me.
I'll tell you what, boomers are great. You met a bunch of boomers, and my parents.
It's my swimming crew.
My parents are boomers. They're great people. Boomers are great people.
It's my swimming.
The generation. That generation. I always say I should have been a boomer. The way I act, I should have been a boomer. Should have been 20 in the 80s. Kyle, the 80s were a special time, for what I was told. Special time.
You missed the 80s? You weren't around.
And guess what, Kyle? I wasn't around for it, but I missed the 80s.
Let's bounce around. Let's go to the 5 and 5, presented by Flagler Credit Union.
Five topics.
High five.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas, no brakes.
And it's shaking big time.
It's time for the 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union, proud supporter of FAU Athletics. Number one.
Well, there was a lot of crap yesterday in the NFL. No two ways about it. Bad football games, blowout football games, except for one explosive game in the 4 o'clock window where the Denver Broncos score 33 points in the fourth quarter to beat the New York Giants. 33-32. Pick the stats you want. There's so many of them that prove how unlikely of a comeback this one ended up being.
And they were shut out through three quarters.
Entering last week, teams had lost 1,601 straight games when they were down 18 or more points in the final 6 minutes. and the Broncos snapped that streak. What did you learn about either side in that game? What jumped out to you?
Two things. I'm going to start with Denver. We've said it before. Knicks is like Baker Mayfield in the sense. He's a gamer. You know, he kind of just does it all with his legs. He is so much better when we're not trying to put together a game plan. We're not trying to manage a game. We're not trying to dissect the defense play by play. We're not trying to methodically go down the field. He is better when it's arcade, when it's try to figure it out, score quickly, operate quickly, feel gamer-like mentality. He was a night and day difference at quarterback between the first three quarters and the fourth. And number two, I know they won the game. Sean Payton's overrated. Sean Payton is overrated. You know, he missed the postseason five times with Drew Brees as his quarterback. Hall of Famer. You know, top 12 all-time quarterback probably. And he missed postseason five times. I mean, without that, we're looking at a guy who I think is one of the more overrated Super Bowl winning coaches around. He those games methodically, and he's an offensive guy, just tough to watch. And as for the Giants, they're young. That was a young team. They showed a lot defensively. Defense got gassed by 33 points in the fourth quarter. You can't put it all on the offense and dart because defense still gave up 33
points. Gotta get first downs, though. I mean, Colin, this was a 10-point game with 5 minutes left to go.
Yeah.
Get two first downs and end the doggone game.
And he had that terrible interception, awful interception, to give them the ball into the red zone to give them a quick score. I mean, this game, I went dart through the pick. When he threw the pick with about 5.5 minutes to go and put the Denver Broncos at the 20-yard line, that's when I started to think this is possible.
So I said, just put a drive together. All they had to do was put one more drive together. Granted, they did it to what would have been the go-ahead touchdown, but it was that awful call on that drive as well.
On the PI, yeah.
It was terrible. But Dart should have been picked off like three different times that drive, too. How many times do you throw it into triple coverage and get away with it?
He wasn't even bothering to move the sticks. That was the first time I've ever seen. That was like him against Florida last year when he was just chucking it deep every play. They were fortunate it worked. But he did no interest in methodically moving the sticks down the field.
It's just like he should have been picked off three different times. There was that awful pass interference call. Deserved loss. I can't believe I'm saying that. A team that was, down to 23 to 26 to nothing
them down
in fourth quarter?
For three quarters.
They were
down.
Up 26 to nothing in the fourth quarter.
26 to 8. It was 19-0.
26 to 8. And then guess what? They deserved to lose the game. But no, Kyle, heading into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, what? They were up multiple scores.
19-0.
And they deserved to lose the game. I've never seen anything like it. That was the craziest game I watched in the NFL so far this year.
It was that and the Giants and Cowboy game.
Like, a game of defying the odds like that. I'm going to go back a couple of years just because, you know, I'm a miserable Brown fan. Remember when Flacco came in for the Jets against the Browns before he went to the Browns and won in that crazy fourth quarter comeback? That's what this game reminded me of a bit. Denver just playing from behind the whole game.
That's the second time the Giants have had some miraculous late game touchdown. They had it in the game against the Cowboys too, and the Cowboys go right down the field and were able to tie it then, but they were able to win it. Giants kicking woes. They missed the PAT to keep it a 3-point game. Weirdly enough, if there's a silver lining, you're seeing a lot of guts out of the Giants. You're seeing an incapability to close games, but hey, 19-0, fourth quarter, 26-8, really shutting them down. Defensive line playing great. They just blew the game. That's the inexperience showing.
They got no skill weapons outside of Scadaboo offensively.
Wandale Robinson's underrated, but yes.
You get what I'm saying, mate.
Yeah.
Like, holy cow. The fact that they're even able to do this with what's around them, I think is going to keep Dable around. I thought this was a team that could win five games, have Dart look good, and come back. That's why I said at the time,
it's going to be a game at the end of season meeting between, you know, the Marids, Tishes, and all these people, and Brian Dable, and they're going to say, hey, we had Denver on the ropes after beating the Philadelphia Eagles on Thursday Night Football.
And that's why at the time, when I go back, their last trump card was Dart, and it seems to be working three, four games into it. It's a long season.
Number two.
Let's go to baseball a little bit. We have got a game 7 tonight because the Blue Jays beat the Mariners 6-2 last night. Let's catch up with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. after the win.
Hey, you ask me if I'm ready. I born ready, and I want it all for this city.
You guys wrote off the Blue Jays, and they wrote back.
I didn't.
Yes, you did. Yes, Mike, I went back. I was cutting reeds last week.
Friday.
And you said, I wouldn't bet on the Blue Jays with your money.
But Friday, what did I say? I liked them in the game. They the lost Jays that game, too.
You like the Blue Jays in game five?
I did. And I said I'd like the Blue Jays to win the series to face the Dodgers because of their pop.
Our guy's pitching tonight, George Kirby.
He's going to get shelled.
Nope. Shelled. It's him versus Bieber. It's interesting. I love a game seven because this is going to be George Kirby, Luis Castillo, and a plethora of probably Bryce Miller and Brian Wu versus Max Scherzer, Kevin Gausman, and Shane Bieber. That's fascinating.
It is.
That's what baseball is all about. You're going to see three starters on either side, and I'm all for it.
How about Vladdy? You know, there's always the talk of when a guy gets paid, he loses interest, he got the money. Not this guy. 462, six home runs and 12 RBIs in the postseason? That's incredible. He already has more home runs than his old man did in his entire 20-year career. For those of you that don't know, Vladdy Sr., dad never wore the gloves, had one of the more elite batting stances in baseball history. But he's already doing better than dad, who is a Hall of Famer, by the way. Vladdy's unreal. Vladdy's awesome. Unreal. Junior's unreal.
Yeah. Give him the whole credit. Offense, every ball's in play. That's the problem with them. We'll get into that a little later. Number three.
Number three.
Well, with there being an ALCS Game 7 tonight and a Monday Night Football doubleheader tonight, what is the ball viewing practice for Mike Rizzo and Colin Russo? 7 o'clock kick for Bucks Lions.
Yeah, it's a great 10 game,
10 o'clock
too.
Kick for Seahawks Texans. 8 o'clock first pitch, Mariners Blue Jays.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, that second game, you could forget that. I mean, that second game stinks. Let's be honest with ourselves. 10 o'clock kickoff for a Seattle-Houston game. Please, that's not going to happen. But that first game is great. There's no doubt about that. The Buccaneers are limping into the game. I know Emeka Egbuka just announced that he is going to play, believe it or not.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so they thought he was going to be out for a month. He's been out a week. But it's going to be a good game. I think the Lions are probably going to handle business pretty handedly, coming off a loss. It's going to be both games on. The one with the audio will probably be the baseball.
So game seven takes the cake.
That'll be the audio.
All right, are you kidding me? But multi-screen, you got the Bucks and Lions. Baker's unbelievable. By the way, Egbuka, brother, let me know sooner so I can start you my fantasy lineup next time. I mean, geez, I'm out here starting Marvin Harrison Jr. Come on, help me out here. Help me out here. And then, Christian, what'd you say, the 10 o'clock game, Texas and Seahawks?
Number four.
10 o'clock is
a joke.
A joke
an
of a time.
An absolute joke.
A slap in the face. That's a slap in the face to the American people. Go ahead.
The East Coast American people.
No one on the West. No one in L.A. watches football. That's what I always say.
People in Seattle do.
But that's the old saying. You know, no one in L.A. cares.
Seattle Dodgers World Series, and we're going to be having, 9:38 first pitches Eastern time. See what happens.
I won't be.
Number four.
I won't be snoozing during that. I will be up.
You know who was snoozing? While he was playing quarterback for the Dolphins, it was Tua Tagovailoa. The Browns blow the crap out of the Dolphins, 31-6 in Cleveland yesterday.
Feel good about that?
Is this the lowest
God, no.
you've ever felt about the Dolphins organization under Mike McDaniel?
If I could start off, boys, I would say so. I mean, the quarterback threw for 116 yards, and he lost 31-6. Now, it was miserable weather conditions. Terrible. We could all agree there.
The opposing quarterback threw for 116 yards.
Sorry. Dylan Gabriel threw for 116 yards, played terrible in the game. They didn't let him throw past 5 yards.
Can you knock him for it? No.
Judkins ran the ball unbelievably. They lost the battle of the line of scrimmage. They lost the will to fight. That game by the Dolphins, they just completely lost the will to fight. And for Tua to throw for 100 yards and 3 picks, I don't see how they could start him next week. Mike McDaniel, after the game, basically said in a nutshell, hey, some guys aren't playing good enough, and they're going to be practicing for their jobs coming up this week of practice. I actually didn't mind McDaniel saying that. The problem is, it's too far gone. I mentioned to you last week, is this going to be the final nail in the coffin for McDaniel going 1-6 and losing to Cleveland? Absolutely. I could see a midseason firing now. I can. This was terrible.
I'm there.
This was terrible.
Get rid of him now. I'm there. Why are we keeping him around? What could possibly change? Seriously.
McDaniel did say Tua will start this week, by the way. Like, he has said it verbatim today, earlier.
Today he did?
Yeah. Okay.
So what are we doing?
It's a joke.
Why is he around? That's my question. Is there a legitimate reason that somebody can give me that why Mike McDaniel still has a job? Like, honestly.
Because the Dolphins don't fire coaches midseason. It's the best thing I got for you.
Principle, yeah, right. There's no principle to it. There's none. You don't lose that type of game. I understand the weather stunk, but you're seeing a gutless performance You're not seeing anything from your quarterback, who apparently is supposed to be your guy. You're not seeing anything from the skill positions. You're hurt to kingdom come. The defense is terrible. And you just got blown out by a team that's going to be picking right next to you in the draft. I can't sit here and say that the Miami Dolphins should feel good about anything. And number one, or number two, they should fire him now. They should fire him and the general manager now and just deal with the next 10 weeks and figure it out after that. Give yourself some time to reset.
They got punched in the mouth by one of the worst teams in the league. Lost the line of scrimmage battle utterly.
That should be enough.
And we're throwing pick sixes like they were jackpot dead or alive, like me in the cul-de-sac growing up.
Should absolutely be enough. I don't know how it's not. I'm surprised we haven't heard. I thought we were going to do McDaniel today, getting fired. I really did.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know how he hasn't been fired.
Instead, being in meetings all day, I missed him say that the guy who threw for 3 interceptions and lost in the football game is going to be the starter for next game.
I mean, Tua is absolutely terrible. The offense is absolutely terrible. But this all falls, in my opinion, on the head coach. Because the head coach is an offensive-minded player, a coach. And the offense is as abysmal as it's ever been. And I don't care how they play week by week. This is an inexcusable point in the season for the Dolphins. They should get rid of him. They should get rid of Greer. You're going to have to be stuck with Tagovailoa for another year or two and then figure it out after that. That's where we're at. I don't know how he's still around. Number four.
Well, getting lost in the shuffle of a sports weekend was the NLCS. Shohei Ohtani pitched 6 shutout innings. He had 2 home runs. Pretty much one of the better performances you'll ever see by a single player in a baseball game ever, right? Well, no, that's not the case. He came back to bat in the 7th and did this.
Ohtani has done it again! His 3rd home run!
In a World Series berth clinching game 4, Ohtani with 6 shutout innings, 10 strikeouts, and 3 home runs. If I could twist your arm and really challenge you on this, give me another sport comparison if it exists, because I don't think it does.
It's an 100-point game in a clinching game in the NBA playoffs. I mean, seriously, that is how questionable the idea that we'll ever see a game like that again. That is how crazy that is. It's like a 100-point game in a playoff game.
But I think you've got to add in the aspect of playing 2 different positions is different in baseball than it is in any other sport. So you could say, 3 catches, 3 touchdowns, 120 yards, and 2 interceptions. Well, being a wide receiver and being a cornerback are very similar.
Deion has done that. That's the thing. Deion has played that in big games. He did that for the Cowboys in 95.
But my pushback is that's the closest possible.
Well, being a pitcher and being a hitter are just foreign concepts.
It's synonymous. You're doing it. Making a play on the ball. Yeah. It's being an athlete. It's understanding where the football is. You're just playing offensively and defensively.
The only comparison would be Travis Hunter doing this in the playoffs.
But that's not a fair one.
It's not, but then there's no comparison. Because pitching and hitting is just such a different dynamic. Like, they're the polar opposites. That's why they're facing each other. So, like, there's no comparison I could make. Like, as a great performance, I'll give you one. A hat trick and an assist in a Champions League final in Europe. You got 3-4 goal contributions in the game. You're probably going to win the game.
Okay.
Because you're
maybe we're closer than we think.
As a goalkeeper.
Yes. This would be if Shohei Ohtani.
You get the first half, and then second half, you go light it up.
Not how this works. Issa's our intern. She's a soccer fish. She can tell you it's not how this works.
Well, quite obviously, but that
it's not
is
how this works.
That's how different being a pitcher and a hitter is. It's like being a striker and a goalkeeper.
He foregoes the goal and goes all the way down to score 4 goals.
Believe it or not, Ohtani's performance is more realistic than having a penalty save and scoring 3 goals. It's more realistic than that, I promise you. But that's why I don't think there's a comparison. Because it's just, name me a sport where you could do this at. Name me another sport where you can make an impact at both positions, like baseball. That's why Babe Ruth was considered the greatest baseball player of all time for so long. It's because he was a great pitcher. He was a good pitcher and one of the best hitters of all time. This guy could fan 10, pitch 6 innings, and hit 3 home runs.
Shohei Ohtani just bowled a perfect game, and then he had a spinning back elbow knockout in the octagon. That's what he did. It just all happened on the baseball field.
Now, we're reaching for the stars, but I get it, guys. I don't think there's a good answer. I don't. Christian, I stand by that. There's not a good comparison for this.
Unbelievable. And even if you're talking about offensively, they're lucky he leads off. I mean, you're talking about not RBI contributions. That's not even his fault.
We were early on this, by the way.
It's like Hideki Matsui in the 2009 Game 6 where he has the 3 home runs, but he had like 9 RBIs.
You could go back and listen to Russo and Rizzo on the South Florida app because Colin and I had the same
conversation. We were on what?
ESPN South Florida app.
We had the same conversation. We thought this was going to happen against the Phillies.
Yeah.
We said, oh, is this where Ohtani has the greatest game?
This is a Hall of Fame moment.
No, yeah. It happened in the NLCS. By the way, South Florida. Sorry.
No, ESPN South Florida app.
It vindicates his entire... Yeah, South Florida app. It vindicates his entire performance.
Correct.
In the previous 4 or 5 games. It really is bizarre.
It's like, all right, he didn't hit all postseason long, but hey, hold my beer because I'm about to have the greatest single performance of all time.
And then they get a week off. And then they get a week off.
Unbelievable.
Is that going to help or hurt him?
That's the question.
Doesn't matter. Guess what, guys? I'm ready to answer.
I think it does matter in a small sample size of a seven game series.
It'll matter for one game.
That's the only chance that those teams have.
How about this?
The Dodgers come out flat.
It'll matter for one game.
It's the only. And let me ask you this. Let's follow up question here. Would the offense of the Toronto Blue Jays or the pitching of the Seattle Mariners fare a better competition to the Dodgers? Blue Jays have a better offense. They're one through nine dangerous, but the Mariners have better pitching.
Hear me out on this. I think offense because I think the Dodgers would outpitch them. You got to go toe for toe with runs. You have a better chance of scoring runs and beating them that way. The Dodger pitching will outpitch you. They've proved it. The week off could be something for one game. And guess what? Better take advantage.
You can make an argument this is the best postseason rotation you've ever seen.
Ever.
You can make that argument.
I mean, $1 billion
worth of arms.
Glasnow, $25 million a year. Snell, $20 million a year. Ohtani, $700 million contract. And
Yamamoto.
You know, and Yoshinobu Yamamoto, the Japanese flamethrower.
F45 is your place to get the functional workout in. 45 minutes in and out. It's class style. So you show up, you got 2 coaches on site with a bunch of like-minded fitness individuals. Loud music. You kind of turn your brain off. Follow along on the screen. See what everybody else is doing. See what they're telling you to do. Turn your brain off, and all of a sudden, 45 minutes pass. You get a full sweat going. You can move on with the rest of your day feeling good, feeling mobile, feeling flexible. That's the type of working out that F45 has to offer. Find a studio near you. Go to F45 Downtown West Palm Beach on Instagram to get started today. We got Jonathan Zazo, the voice of the 305, joining us on the other side of things. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
You know, Hard Rock Bet, with so much going on tonight, including Game 7 between the Blue Jays and the Mariners, and you got a doubleheader in Monday Night Football with a game starting around a quarter after midnight, but you got a bunch of good stuff to watch and a bunch of good stuff to bet on the app. Download today on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Bet just $5 in the app. You bet $5 in the app, you win that first $5 bet, you get $150 immediately in bonus bets. If you refer a friend, get $50 on top of that. Put together parlays, string together as many odds as you can. Try to increase your payout. Follow along on the Discover page. See what other users are putting together in terms of their parlays, different leagues, different sports, different times, live futures. They have it all. Get the NBA starting things up tomorrow. Mike and I are going to make our futures picks tomorrow during the show. Looking forward to that. Do this all on the Hard Rock Bet app. It's your place to take your game to the next level. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in Florida. The wager. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-833-ADMIT-IT.
Or
play wise.
Yeah.
1-833-PLAY-WISE. Excuse me. Welcoming in good friend of program. You can hear him on the Zazzo Show 2.0 all over the ESPN circuit, including the campus tour every weekend at different college tours. It is the voice of the 305, Jonathan Zazzo.
You might know him as the Cooper City Rattlesnake. He's the human flamethrower of Miami sports radio.
Hey, you could be a maniac without being a jerk.
The preacher of the Pat Riley gospel.
They don't complain. They don't make excuses. This is the NBA. Deal with it.
The mayor of Dolphins delusion.
Can the Bills offense keep up with the Dolphins offense?
And the only guy who can go from breaking down the Panthers power play to cutting a full-blown Ric Flair promo.
Woo!
Jonathan Zaslow is the voice of the 305. Presented by Anajar and Levine, Robinhood, and Twin Peaks.
Jonathan Zazzo with us now on Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 103.63. Zaz, welcome in. How are we doing today? What's going on?
What's up, guys? How are you?
You were on vacation last week. Where'd you go?
I was in London and Paris a couple weeks, a week and a half ago. That's right. We took the whole family there. We were all over Europe. I'm very big in Europe, so we had a good time.
Big in Europe? Could you walk outside without the paparazzi forming, and all of a sudden you need to answer questions?
A lot of going in the back door, you know, to the restaurant. I don't want to deal with all the nonsense, you know.
Well, speaking of nonsense, what'd you make of the Miami Dolphins taking on the Cleveland Browns yesterday?
Oh my God! I mean, can we get this quarterback out of my life? Yeah, you know, I'll tell you something. I think I'm a very fair barometer when it comes to how we should view Tua. And the reason that I say that is because coming into this year, I have always, from day one, been all in on Tua. I believed in him. I thought he's the guy. And the fact that I will sit here and tell you that if you once thought that he was the guy, like me, and you're still saying that, you're lying to yourself. Stop lying to yourself. I don't know how anyone can see the way that Tua has played this year and come up with any other conclusion than he is completely washed. I am done with Tua. I don't know how you bring him back next year. I don't care if it's the big cap hit. The Denver Broncos did it with Russell Wilson. Look at them now. They're in perfectly fine shape, all right? I don't care about a stupid cap hit. What I do care about is this quarterback is awful. I can't believe I have to subject myself to watch this any longer.
Now, Zaz, do you feel this way about McDaniel? Should he be fired?
Of course he should be gone. I'm surprised he wasn't fired today.
I agree with you.
How are you not fired? 31-6 to the Cleveland Browns? The same thing where you see Tua and you say, okay, he had some good times, but it's very clear that we cannot win with him moving forward. Mike McDaniel, okay, you had some good times. It's also very clear you cannot win. Is there anyone in the world who, if you connected them to a lie detector test and you said, do you think you could wind up having ultimate success with Mike McDaniel as the head coach, they would say yes, and the lie detector doesn't start beeping and fluttering all over the place? I mean, he's not the coach of this team long term. Now, if you want to keep him the rest of the season, I guess because, all right, things are going so poorly, you know, maybe you'll wind up getting the number one overall pick. I guess that's one way to look at it. I really thought there was a possibility he was going to be fired today, and he probably should have.
I mean, watching that game specifically, it was just, it's laughable because the conditions they were playing in, number one. But number two, it's almost like icing on the cake every following possession of just how bad can it get? And it just continuously gets worse. Now, if you're talking about the number one overall pick, you're under the impression that he's going to stick around the rest of the season. If you had to make a guess today, is that what's going to happen?
Do I think that McDaniel's going to make it through the season?
Yes.
Like, if he wasn't fired today, what would it take?
I agree with you.
I mean, 31-6 against the Cleveland Browns, that really is as bad as it gets.
There's not even a murmur.
Unless they lose a game 100-0, you know, like 31-6 at the Cleveland Browns, that's rock bottom.
Yeah. Zaz, what would you make of Tua already being named the starter for next week? Remember when McDaniel said after the game that basically they're going to reassess things. Guys are going to be practicing for their jobs. Then he comes out on Monday and says Tua's the starter.
Yeah, I guess he didn't mean it. I mean, you know, they didn't practice today. So if he says after the game yesterday, and I thought he was talking about Tua, but if he says yesterday after the game that he's going to have to reassess and, you know, may have to go with some other guys, clearly that's BS. He didn't mean that because they didn't practice today, and Tua's already going to be the quarterback next weekend. So I don't know. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, oh, they got to get a look at Quinn Ewers, see where they got him. They don't have anything Quinn Ewers. I know who he is, all right? He's Quinn Ewers. The point is you're going to hope now. We look toward next year. You want to get a top pick in the draft, and you must use it on a quarterback. But overall, am I surprised that Tua is getting the start next week? I guess
there's
I'm surprised.
So much financial contribution to him. Maybe that's it. But again, all these people are coaching for their jobs and livelihoods. It's weird.
There's no way. There's no way.
It's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment.
We are in the midst. And this, don't forget, the Dolphins, what are we talking, back in 2006, I think, 2008 maybe, where this team started 0-13. All right. I've got perspective. We are in the midst of one of the all-time worst seasons in Miami Dolphins history. That is not hyperbole. You look at the record, 1-6. The only thing worse is 0-7. So they're very close to that. And there is there is no light at the end of the tunnel because you have a quarterback that you thought was the guy. Instead, it looks like one of the all-time worst contracts in the history of football. You're going to fire the coach. You should fire the general manager. And now you're right back at the start of another rebuild. There is no light at the end of the tunnel right now for this team.
Zez, worse than the Cleo Lemon team?
Yeah, that was the 0-13 year. So yeah. it's along the same lines as that. Yeah, like it's God. It's right there with that.
That was probably the last time they were rock bottom, no, Zez?
Yeah, that's why, like, you want to take that season, okay, and I would put it right next to this one as arguably the two worst seasons in the history of the Miami Dolphins.
Now, Jonathan Zazo joining us now on Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. Zaz, to switch things over to college really quick, do you got any Florida or Florida State games on the docket for the college football campus tour? Where are you heading?
Yeah. In a couple of weeks, we are in Jacksonville for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party for Florida, Georgia, which I'm really looking forward to. The Gators did win this week. All right, I know they fired the coach, but they did win. I'm really looking forward to that. We do not have Florida State on the schedule.
Now, Colin, you're going to be in Jacksonville.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Zez,
well, let's see if they have a little guts.
Zez, I didn't get the invite.
Well, you know, Colin, you're there. Are you going to be there that weekend?
I didn't get the invite.
I'm going to be there that weekend, yes.
Oh, are you going to go to the game?
I believe so, yes.
Zez,
okay,
they're doing
that?
The show. They're going to be out partying.
Okay.
And guess who's getting left behind?
Collecting dust in West Palm Beach.
It sounds like Mr. Mike is getting left behind.
Correct, Zez. Not happy about that, partner. Not happy about that, but, you know, it's all right. You know, I'll put my big boy pants on.
All right, so we're going to go then, fun. Colin. We will meet up. We're going to have a good time there in Jacksonville.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's a decent game. Hopefully you see a little guts out of Florida heading into the bye week. Are you heading anywhere this weekend?
Yeah. This weekend we're going to Baton Rouge. We have LSU and Texas A&M. Should be a fun one. I don't think LSU's that good. But, you know, we get an up-close look at Texas A&M, who's obviously a big-time contender.
And you're a Hurricane guy yourself. What'd you make of Friday night against Louisville?
Sucks. It's very
is that not a classic Miami Hurricane game or what? I mean, that is exactly what you'd expect.
Zaz, if I can, brother.
Yeah.
Beck threw four picks. You're losing to FCS Youngstown State if that guy throws four picks in another game. Light at the end of the tunnel. You held them to 25 and under. I always say, Zaz, if you hold a team 25 and under, it's a good day defensively. The quarterback threw four interceptions. You held them to 25 and under. And the Tony kid is on the level of Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate.
Yeah, I think Miami Tony's awesome. This was the Carson Beck performance.
Yeah,
that
Georgia
I guess,
fans are Georgia just thinking, fans oh, boy, are welcome like, to
yep,
the show.
Yep, that's right. There you go. So it is what it is. The reality is that the Canes, if they win the rest of their games, which of course they should, 11-1 should get you an at-large bid. And that's the thing right there. That even if they go 11-1, there's no guarantee they're in the ACC championship game. So the Canes, even at 11-1, need help to get to the ACC championship game. That's the spot they're in right now.
Yeah, they need Louisville to lose, and then you're going to need Georgia Tech to lose on top of that as well.
You need Virginia also.
Yep, that's true.
My pushback to that with the wins against Notre Dame, who, boy, sadly, looks like is going to be in the college football playoff.
No, they got good out-of-conference
wins. Yeah, Zaz, if they lose one game and win out and don't make that godforsaken championship weekend,
yeah, but if you
want
to buy, you're probably going to need to make the ACC title game and win. If you do
they would not get a buy. Well, here's the thing. I don't know if you guys saw this, okay? So let's say they wouldn't get the buy because they don't win the ACC championship game, but they still get in as an at-large team, so then they would be hosting a game, right? Like, they'd get to host that first-round game. Here's the thing. There's a scenario right now where the game in that first round, which would potentially be a Hurricane home game, Hard Rock Stadium, that same day, there is a La Liga soccer match that is scheduled for Hard Rock Stadium. Heather Dinich reported this morning. There's a situation there where on the same day, so college football, they're monitoring the situation.
The college football would move that, right?
I don't know. But yeah. there is a real situation now because I don't think Stephen Ross, remember, he owns the building, all right? It's his football field, it's his stadium. He's not moving the La Liga game.
It's Barcelona and Villarreal.
They are not moving that game.
It's a big deal.
Barca's arguably one of the most popular. They're not United
Stephen Ross
Madrid.
Has fought hard to get that
from
game
From Miami,
here.
Georgia Tech. They're not moving that game.
No.
Yeah, so that's a situation to keep an eye on.
Wow. How about that? Interestingly enough. Okay, so we'll keep an eye on that. But all right, let's switch gears to another Florida team. Florida fired Billy Napier over the weekend. We're going to see Billy Napier-less Florida Gators, but in your mind, do you have anybody in mind that you think Florida should go call, see if they'll pick up the phone for the head coaching gig?
They're certainly going to try and get Lane Kiffin. I mean, that's not a secret. Everybody knows that. This Florida has the money. Florida certainly has more money than Ole Miss does. So the question boils down to Lane Kiffin. You know, do you like what you're doing, what you're building there at Ole Miss? Do you want to stay in Oxford? Or do you want to wind up going to a little bit of a bigger program in the University of Florida? I think Florida is going to make a very big play for Lane Kiffin.
I don't know if he would take it because $9 million, he'll probably get a pay raise after this year, especially if they make the postseason.
Yeah.
It's a safer job going over to Florida. Right. I understand. If that's the hire, if they can lure him away. Outside of that, that's where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
Zaz, really quickly here, where were you over the weekend? I'm curious.
I was in South Bend. I had Notre Dame USC.
Great game, by the way. Well, good game fun. For the most part of the game. What'd you think of South Bend?
Lincoln Riley again.
What'd you think of South Bend?
Well, I was there last year, so it was my second time there. I like South Bend. The campus. Here's the thing. There's a major difference between the atmosphere in South Bend for a big time football game and other places like, let's say, the SEC. I found the atmosphere. It's very pleasant. I think that's a good way of putting
it. High society.
Yeah, it's very pleasant. As opposed to, you know, if you're about to attend an SEC game, it's kind of rowdy.
There's a car or two on fire. Yeah. You know, that's just how it goes.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very and I like it. I'm fine with it. It's a very pleasant atmosphere there for Notre Dame football.
USC couldn't just do the whole country a solid.
They played pretty well in the game.
Well, Lincoln Riley'd at the end, but it's okay. The play calling was atrocious at the end of that game.
Yeah, absolutely. They went away from the running game.
It was atrocious.
Yeah, weird game. And they left a lot of points on the board, especially in the early part. Zaz, all right, so South Bend, by the way, my sister went there, so I've been there for a couple game days. It's about the church. It's about seeing the guys walk.
Yep.
It's nothing crazy, my personal opinion.
Not.
I think South Bend, it's impossible
it's
to get to.
It's not a crazy crowd.
What, you fly into Chicago, then drive? How'd you do it?
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
It's a nightmare. Indianapolis.
You haven't heard my story?
No.
What's your story?
Indianapolis says nightmare.
You go to Chicago, right?
You're not going to believe this.
What happened?
I flew out of Miami on Friday into South Bend, but through Chicago O'Hare. All right, so I got a connection in Chicago. I get to the Chicago airport. I have a short layover, 45 minutes, an hour, no big deal.
Okay.
I'm walking over to the gate, all right? And I get to the gate. I sit down. I see on the board there, it gives you the duration of the flight, tells you how long it's going to be from Chicago to South Bend. 2 hours, 45 minutes. I'm very confused.
Going to a different South Bend.
I'm very confused. And I even, I text my partner, Amber Wilson. I say, Amber, is it possible that this flight is 2 hours and 45 minutes? Because I just looked it up on a map, and Illinois and Indiana are right next to each other. How does this make sense that the flight's longer than Miami to Chicago? And she then says, are you going to South Bend, Indiana? I say, I think so. And so I'm really confused. They call the boarding groups. I'm in, like, the first group to board. They scan my boarding pass, American Airlines, on my app. I walk through the gate. You get outside because it's one of those deals. Okay, it's a small plane. You go outside, then you climb the steps, you get in the plane. I go outside. Guys, it's a bus. It's a bus.
Oh my
and on
God.
The side of the bus, you know what it says? It doesn't say bus. It says American Airlines. It's a bus. I bust 2 hours and 45 minutes from Chicago to South Bend.
Zaz.
Why would I think that I booked a bus when I'm doing American Airlines? What kind of craziness is that? Why would I take a bus in an airport?
I was in an airport,
and there was a bus.
I've never heard of that,
and you know where the bus dropped us off in South Bend? Take a wild guess.
Gary, Indiana? Where'd they go?
The South Bend airport. A bus pulled up at the South Bend airport.
Wow.
You ever heard of anything like this?
No.
Couldn't even do the deal, just dropping you off in front of the stadium.
Zaz, the money, you should have known the deal was too good to
How
be true.
How much was the flight?
That's what I mean.
I don't look at the prices. Like, I book it through a system with ESPN.
I click.
There you go.
You booked an $11 flight, and you're questioning, I got a deal on this
like
one.
Like, Zaz, the only reason I ask that.
Got a horseback.
Zaz, the only reason I ask that is because more often than not, when I was working in Peoria, my flight from Peoria to Chicago would be more than my flight from Chicago to Cleveland, to the point where I just started driving to Chicago and flying out of there. That's why I'm interested on the price. You had to know that the $12 that you spent on the
bus.
But
he did it through the system. It gets expensed. It gets expensive.
Stop it. You still, I'm sorry. This is user error, brother.
I do
this
agree. You should have looked at the flight.
How would I, user error. Why would I look when I'm booking American Airlines to make sure it's not an airplane?
I agree with that. That's a little. I didn't realize American Airlines had a bus system. It's not a Greyhound.
It was the boarding pass is in my. You want to know what app the boarding pass was in? Take a wild guess.
American Airlines.
The American Airlines app.
Zaz, where can people tune into you if they want to listen to more?
Zaslow Show 2.0. Everywhere you get your podcasts, just search Zaslow Show 2.0. Please like, rate, comment, subscribe to all that good stuff. And every episode is presented by Anna Jar and Levine, accident attorneys. You're involved in any kind of accident, you're dealing with a personal injury, you call Anna Jar and Levine, accident attorneys, 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733.
Appreciate it as always, Zaz. Looking forward to talking again next week.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Zaz.
See ya. Take care.
Jonathan Zaslow of the Zaslow Show 2.0, the voice of the 305. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Katt. Russo and Rizzo taking a timeout. ESPN 106.3.
Men, games aren't won on Friday night. They're won Monday through Thursday.
You find out life's a game of inches.
It's about preparation. It's about discipline. And it's about showing up ready to dominate.
That's going to make the difference between winning and losing.
And now, your game plan for greatness. Brought to you by Men's Only Medical. Visit mensonlymedical.com.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Let's go play some football. Let's go, baby!
Game plan for greatness, where we come up game plans for teams that are playing on Monday Night Football, their path to victory. And folks, you want to know my path to victory? It's with Men's Only Medical. I'm taking care of the things now that could affect me 30, 40, 50 years down the line. Weight management and nutrition is also another thing I'm focusing with Men's Only Medical. Dr. Al over on North Dixie Highway, concierge healthcare service. Look at them online, mensonlymedical.com. Hair loss solution, skin assessment, mensonlymedical.com. My good buddy Doc Al, Cardinal Newman, grad. Kyle, I'll take the godforsaken game that's going on at 10 o'clock, and you can focus on the 7 with the Buccaneers and the Lions. I'm going to focus on Seattle because I do think there's a lot of good with Seattle. They have a good offense, they have a good defense, and they got a good head coach. I just don't know if this is a great team. And I think a lot of that is going to have to do with the quarterback, Sam Darnold. Having a good year. 1,500 passing yards, 11 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. My game plan for greatness for Seattle and for them to be great tonight is continue to feed the ball to their star wide receiver, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. JSN, all right, has blown up. The moment they got rid of DK Metcalf and made him the number one guy, he has blown up. 696 yards and 3 touchdowns on the year. My game plan for greatness for Seattle is to get back on track in that passing game with Sam Darnold and JSN.
Yeah, in terms of that first game, finally, could be a great game. Now, you're worried about Tampa Bay. They're probably due to lose a game. They've been very fortunate past couple weeks, and they're very hurt. And I know Mecca Buka is back, and then Mike Evans might be back, but they're missing 2 offensive linemen. They're missing running backs. They're missing pieces all over the field. This is a Lion team that's coming off a bad loss on the road to Kansas City last week. They're back at home. You know how good they are at home. They're going to be explosive. I would say that this is a game that if Tampa Bay wants to play the high-flying affair that they think they can, I don't think this is going to work out in their favor. I think this is better as a muddied up game. Think the Tampa Bay victory over the Houston Texans in week 2 on Monday Night Football. I think they'd be better off having a game like that instead of a game like they did against the Seattle Seahawks where it's touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Because the one thing about the Detroit Lions, they're going to control the pace of the game. They're going to run the ball with their 2 running backs. They're going to get the ball, spread the ball around. And if Goff is protected, he's going to do fine. If you get to Goff, then you start to disrupt their game plan a little bit. I would say goal for Tampa Bay, slow it down and get to Goff. Goal for Detroit, speed it up and spread it out early. That's the key for those 2 games as you get a doubleheader tonight. Who do you think is going to win game 7?
I got the Buccaneers tonight and I got Seattle. I'm going against the grain with the Lions.
game 7.
Game 7.
Oh, sorry. I got football.
Seattle?
Football on the mind. Toronto.
You think Toronto?
I like Toronto on Friday. It bit me in the butt, but they won the next 2. Give me Toronto tonight. Vladdy is insane with that 400 batting average, 6 home runs, and 16 RBIs.
Seattle's been my guys all year. I'm going to go with my guy, George Kirby. George Kirby, a bit of a resurgence game. after a bad game three. Can he turn it around? We'll see tonight. Game seven, two doubleheaders. We'll be back at it tomorrow, same time, 4 to 6 p.m. Appreciate everybody staying aboard with us. If you missed any of the show, go listen back on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, all those great places, because you can listen to us, actually. We're coming back after this. We've got another hour. We're going to get into the full NFL slate, which we haven't done a ton on. We did the Giants game. Haven't done any of the other big action, but we get the fifth quarter with Hard Rock Bet coming up after this. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.